The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Music time to Dean O'Regan, presenter of Songs in the Key of Life here on Today FM on a Sunday evening. Arts editor of the Sunday Business Post is here with John Cadell of RockYouLike.com. And one album I certainly have liked in recent years, AM, the Arctic Monkeys, 2013, I think, was one of the best albums of the decade. Absolute standout. So we have a new album, but a rather unusual title.
Yeah. Go, Nadine.
Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Catchy.
Not. Okay. And the album is so different.
Yeah. It certainly isn't what people might have been hoping for, which was AM Part 2. What we'll call it PM. But it's not chock full of like huge choruses, stinging guitars and thundering drums like the Monkees are well known for. It's a very contemplative, mid-paced, piano-based album that really, on this album, more than any other, you really get the impression that, yeah, Turner is the boss. He says what goes.
Well,
Turner being?
Alex, the lead singer and songwriter.
I wonder if Alex Turner's manager really regrets the moment that, I think it was on Alex Turner's 30th birthday, that he presented him with this Steinbeck piano that he was meant to play on in his beautiful home in the Hollywood Hills. And Alex promptly went and composed the entire album on the piano. And then the rest of the guys came in to see where they could contribute. And apparently the first time they heard it, they were as shocked as the fans currently are. And it was actually even suggested to Alex that he should release it as a solo album, which is a remarkable thing when you think about it, that one of the Arctic Monkeys would be saying to Alex Turner, you know what, maybe do this
on your own.
Jamie convinced him that it could be an Arctic Monkeys album. So
yeah, but the thing is, they did get involved in the end and they did contribute guitar, but it is nonetheless such a piano-orientated, jazz-influenced 70s album. It's
I've been listening to it since last Friday, right? I've been listening to it regularly. And every time I sit down to it and I say, I feel like I should be pouring myself a glass of whiskey.
A martini, Matt.
No, a glass of whiskey would be my tipple in a situation like that. And that I should be just sitting back and sipping it and sort of relaxing back. And I found as well the first time...
The punk wars for that now, Matthew.
No. It's a very mature sounding album, but it really seeps in. And I've listened to it over it. And that's why I often find the very best albums are the ones that you take a little bit of time with, that they're okay when you start off. And by the time you're fifth or sixth play and you're going to go, wow, you really get to know it and you hear all the things that are going on. And I found myself really liking this.
Yeah, well, Alex Turner did an interview recently with, I think it was Rolling Stone, and one of his first comments was he was complimented on his suit and he just went, Christian Dior. And that's Alex Turner now. That is not the Sheffield boy, you know. He's a very, very different man. He's in his early 30s. And this album, it is the product of somebody who has grown up. He's in a different place in his life. It doesn't have choruses. There's a sort of a feeling from it that he's lounging around, sort of contemplating life. It's got a real David Bowie feel to it.
Yes. And I know another listener says it's Richard Hawley light.
Richard Hawley, very much.
And light. Actually, oh, stinging.
No, but the thing is, if this was the Arctic Monkeys' first record, I have to be honest, it would go very few places, because there's a chilliness about it. There's a lack of passion. There are no kind of
love
songs.
I don't think there's a lack of passion.
No, I think there's an elegance, but it's an art house elegance. It's not an elegance that, or it's not a passion that comes from when you've just been dumped or when your life has been torn apart. This is a man who is holding a martini, wearing a Christian Dior suit.
It
is remarkable.
Okay, tell us. We're going to play a couple of tracks out of it. What's your pick, John?
I've picked American Sports.
And why so?
I think the lyrics across the whole album are great. It's not what I expected from them musically, but I think lyrically he's still absolutely spot on.
Let's hear it.
So when you gaze at planet Earth from outer space, does it wipe that stupid look off of your face? I saw this aura over the battleground states. I lost the money, lost the keys, but I'm still handcuffed to the briefcase. And I never thought, not in a million years, that I'd meet so many lovers. Could I please have my money back? My virtual reality mask is stuck. I'm
battery pack just in time for my weekly chat with God on video call. Breaking news, they take the truth.
I mean, we talk about Sheffield, that could easily be a Pulp song as well. I mean,
there's no way Jarvis Cocker in a million years would allow himself to sound quite so rich, to be honest.
Have you heard This Is Hardcore?
I have, of course, heard This Is Hardcore.
Well, that could fit perfectly on
No, actually,
album.
Musically, you're right. This Is Hardcore would fit, but yeah. Just in terms of the lyrics, I think the lyrics are so... Now, Jarvis Cocker does do Detachment
very
well.
That is a protest song. That's not talking about being rich. That's a protest song.
No, but the vibe of it.
Well, Mark says, the clue was laid years ago, whatever people say I'm not. And any singer who can get the term quantitative easing into a song is a freaking genius.
Yeah, I mean...
And I agree with all that. Like, he is... One of the things I really love about Alex Turner is that he's so cocky. His confidence shines through at every moment in this record. He knows that culturally, everybody else is zigging, he's zagging, he's doing his own thing. And there's something absolutely beautiful about that. This is an album. There are no singles virtually on it. And he is just deciding to say, look, I'm a grown-up, I'm making a grown-up record, and I hope that you'll come with me. But if you don't, you don't.
What's your pick?
This is the only song that I think could work live particularly well, and it's 4 to 5.
Alternative ways, start your free trial today. Come on in the waters, lovely look. You could meet someone you like, you're in the meteor strike. It is that easy. Lunar service on a Saturday night, dressed up in silver and white, with colored old grey whistle test lights. Take it easy for a little while, come and stay with us. It's such an easy flight. It's all getting gentrified. I put a tapperier on the roof. It was well reviewed. 4 stars out of 5. And that's unheard of.
See, I'm so familiar with it now.
I think that sounds amazing.
It's a fantastic song. But you make a really interesting point, because I know the Arctic Monkeys are coming to play in Ireland in the Three Arena later this year. I have a 15-year-old daughter who's been dropping broad hints about wanting me to take her to it. But this album, you say, can you imagine them playing it?
Nah.
In the
not
Three
really.
Arena?
They've played 3 or 4 songs live from it already, but I think as the years go on, 2 years' time, they'll be playing maybe 2 tracks from it.
You think of a band like Radiohead, and like it or not, people have been comparing this to their Kid A or their OK Computer. And if we were sitting here 20 years ago reviewing OK Computer going, how is this going to work live? They'll be playing 2 songs written. And I'm not saying it's anywhere near as good an album as that. But then with Kid A, it was even worse. It was all blippity blippity. And you're like, how is this going
to
work
live? When Kid A came out, I thought it was phenomenal. I'm not just saying that retrospectively. I reviewed it at the time.
I hated it. And now I think it's their best album. But, I mean, these songs will work live somehow. They will probably take on a different sort of sheen or a different sort of, he'll rework them somehow. But yeah, he's going to be playing a lot. He loves these songs right now. He's going to be playing a lot of these live.
It depends, I think, on what type of band they end up becoming, because we're definitely into a new phase of the Arctic Monkeys. They're at a new point in their career. I love seeing a band progress like that. Will the rest of the band come with him? Will he be making more solo albums? That's a possibility. Will he even be making music at all? You listen to those lyrics. Like, there's so much in the lyrics that it's just, he makes you think he should be writing novels. Like, he spoke to the NME about the new album and he said that this is choppy waters in terms of pretentiousness, but I don't know how much of a choice in that I had. This seems a bit like a declaration about retaining my integrity, but this was all I had. I don't know what else I could have done, truly.
Comments, Bernard and Finglas, go back to the estates, Alex. And another one says, Alex Turner sounds like John Lennon crossed with a David Bowie tribute act.
Fair argument.
But the thing about this is, since the album has come out, because nobody heard it really in advance or any singles from it, since it's come out, people feel obliged to have a strong opinion on it. And I mean, I certainly feel like, you know, I should be on one side or the other. But let's be honest, it's just a pop record and a lot of people are going to be indifferent about it. They'll listen to it 4 or 5 times and they'll probably never play it again.
It's not a pop record.
It's not the second coming of Christ.
A record with strong jazz leanings, piano orientated, from a man who has a wonderful crooner vocal and great rhythm.
and I'm falling in love with it. You were a big fan, I believe, John, of Frightened Rabbit. So the awful news that Scott Hutchinson, the lead singer, has been found dead.
Yeah, this came to light late last week that he had gone missing from his hotel in Edinburgh. And it didn't look good, because anybody who's a fan of Frightened Rabbit, and incidentally, one of your production team, Orla Ormond, is a huge fan.
We had a
little chat this afternoon about them. It didn't look good, because Scott has a history of, I'm not going to say mental illness, but a history of, well, okay, so he has a history of mental illness.
Yeah.
And he struggles, had struggled regularly with not being at his best, or feeling that he wasn't at his best, or letting himself down and letting the people he loves down. And it eventually appears that it just all got too much for him. And the saddest thing was reading the last two tweets that he sent from his account. The last one was, I'm away now, thanks. And just chilling when you think less than 48 hours later, he was found dead by the South Queensferry Bridge in Edinburgh. It's just, I interviewed him back in the Phantom days, and just such a lovely chap. And not in the way that somebody would be on because they're doing promo. You know, somebody who was just a genuinely nice person, who was soft and bear-like, but also real soft face and kind eyes.
Let's hear some Frightened Rabbit music. This is The Woodpile. Frightened Rabbit's music, but I listen more now, because that really strikes me almost like American indie music, but a sort of a Scottish voice on it.
A touch of Elbow in there as well. But you know what was really notable for me, like in the past few days, the outpouring of emotion on Twitter and social media from people who'd been really helped by Frightened Rabbit, and who had found their music maybe at a difficult point in their own lives. And the outpourings, the Twitter threads of people who just spoke about how one song or one album had really helped them, because he was so honest lyrically about the troubles that he was going through. And we've gotten better as a society, I think, about talking about mental health troubles and depression and the issues and anxiety, the troubles that are facing people now. But still, sometimes art is the best way maybe to connect and to maybe find solace. And, you know, tragic as his death has been, it was somehow a little bit comforting to know that there are so many people out there who were so helped by him. And particularly in this year when, you know, in recent times, Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. It's been a very, very tough time.
Avicii, I was thinking that after Scott Hutchinson had passed, you know, the danger is that people who follow these artists, young people especially who follow these artists, and think, well, if somebody like Avicii, who has it all, can't bear this life, what hope do I have? And that's a very dangerous side effect of suicide. And what I would say is that it's one thing to talk to people, but if the facilities aren't there through the health system to assist young people and people of any age who are suffering with depression or thoughts of suicide, talking goes so far, but we really need to make an impression on the government that this is actually at a critical point now, certainly in Ireland, and I would imagine it's the same in Scotland. It's, you know, these people are idols to so many people, and to think that somebody like Scott didn't want to live anymore, it's a sad state of affairs where people who seemingly are successful just don't have the will to live anymore, and there needs to be assistance straight away for people when they're starting to feel down like that, starting to slip like that. They need access to proper care. I'm sorry to go on a rant, but it's a fact.
Well, even the festival, the first Fortnite Festival, which takes place in January of every year, which is, you know, designated arts events designed to help bring people together, discuss mental health, issues, is one of those kinds of festivals that, you know, reminds everyone very forcibly at a particularly difficult time in January that we are all in this together. And, with Scott, I think, again, on social media, people can reach out a hand, and they've been doing that in recent days.
And Frightened Rabbit were one of those bands who you never saw people walking down the road wearing a Frightened Rabbit T-shirt. But certainly in the aftermath of his tragic death, like Nadine says, the outpouring on Twitter, they're one of those bands that never get talked about, but the people who like them adore them.
Yeah.
I hadn't been aware of Frightened Rabbit, but I think from the brief clip that we heard, I will go and try and find out more about their music and listen to it.
The Midnight Organ Fight's the one to start with.
Okay. We don't have time for your picks of the week. I know you had picked Painkiller by Ice Age.
That's me, yeah.
And you had picked Human by Paul Allwright.
Paul Allwright's new album, yeah.
He said he didn't have time.
Not enough time, I'm sorry.
Well, it's brilliant, and it talks about some of those issues.
Jesus, Nadine.
So, just to say.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.